that even while exhibiting his learning, he never hurt anyone, he never humiliated anyone. And everybody was stunned by his learning. When he would go around debating with people, he would just go around and challenge, all of you are Trivedi, Chaturvedis, Bhattacharyas, you know, come and debate with me. And the other students, would older students would say, what do you know, let us debate. But he would just, whatever arguments they would make, he would refute it completely. And then, in this way, at the age of 14, you know, 14 is generally the age when a person is just coming into 9th or 10th standard. So even in Vedic times, learning Sanskrit itself takes many, many years. Often it is said 12 years, just the Sanskrit grammar. But at the age of 14, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that time he was known as Nimai, and when he became so learned, he got the title, the epithet Pandit. So he was known as Nimai Pandit. At the age of 14, he started his own Tola. Tola means teaching school. And dozens and dozens and dozens and hundreds of students started coming to him just for learning. And he took the blessings of his teacher Gangadas Pandit, who was very pleased to have a student like him, who had learned so fast and so quickly. And after that he started going around, learning in a very effective way, teaching in a very effective way. And then at that time there was this extraordinarily learned Pandit Keshav Kashmiri, who was travelling all around the country defeating different people. And he came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to Navadvip to challenge the scholars of Navadvip. At that time, Navadvip was a high seat of learning. Not just in Bengal, but practically all over India it was recognized as a place where scholars would congregate. And scholars would discuss and debate. So for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Nimai Pandit, to become accomplished in such a scenario was extraordinary. But he did that by his extraordinary learning. So when Keshav Kashmiri, who had been benedicted by Saraswati Devi, came there to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Navadvip, to challenge the scholars, all the scholars, they discussed among themselves and they said, this Keshav Kashmiri is so learned that he has been blessed by Saraswati that nobody can debate with him, nobody can defeat him. So if Saraswati Devi has blessed him, what is the use of debating with him? And all the scholars practically fled from Navadvip, just left home on some excuse and went to some relative's place. So the idea is that if the rival comes to debate and if you are not there only, so the debate doesn't happen, then it's as if you are not defeated. So that way they wanted to protect their honor. And they decided that Nimai Pandit, who is just a 14-year-old lad, let him debate with Keshav Kashmiri. And if he is defeated, still we can say, oh, you only defeated a young boy from Avanavadvip. You did not defeat the big scholars. And if somehow he is able to defeat Keshav Kashmiri, then we will say that even a small boy, even a young lad from our village, our town can defeat the world champion scholar. So how great are the scholars? This way they had their own plan to try to deal with Keshav Kashmiri. But Nimai Pandit has his own plan. So actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided as Nimai Pandit not to confront Keshav Kashmiri in a direct public debate. Because if he had done that, and if he had defeated him over there, it would have been such a great humiliation for him that he would not have been able to tolerate it. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, that Sambhavitasya Kirtir Maranaditi Ruchyate, that for those who are honored, dishonor is worse than death. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very casually met him. Hare Krishna, are you able to hear me? Hare Krishna. कैन यू हियर मी?
यस प्रभुजी।
ऋषिकेश योगा डिवोटीज यू कैन ऑल्सो हियर मी? यस ओके थैंक यू। सो वी वर टॉकिंग अबाउट केशव कश्मीरी। सो नाउ चैतन्य निमाय पंडित डिसाइडेड दैट ही वुड नॉट मीट हिम इन अ पब्लिक डिबेट, एंड केशव कश्मीरी ऑल्दो ही वॉज अ वेरी लर्नेड पर्सन ही ऑल्सो न्यू अबाउट वैदिक कल्चर एंड ही केम टू द बैंक्स ऑफ गंगा टू बेद ओवर देर, एंड वेन ही बेदेड ओवर देर ही सॉ निमाय पंडित सिटिंग विद स्टूडेंट्स ऑन द बैंक्स ऑफ द गंगा। ही वॉज वेरी अट्रैक्टेड दिस यंग इफल्जेंट लुकिंग पर्सनैलिटी विद अ गोल्डन कम्प्लेक्शन। ही आस्क्ड द स्टूडेंट्स हू इज दिस पर्सन, सो oh, you don't know, he is Nimai Pandit, the greatly learned scholar. So Nimai Pandit himself got up and he said, oh, please come, we are honored to have you in our presence. And yeah, so Keshav Kashmir said, I have heard a lot about you, you are a very learned person. He said, no, I just teach grammar to beginners, but you are truly learned. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a very excellent plan of how to deal with people's egos. Generally, a good doctor, he always gives anesthesia before he does surgery, because if you do the surgery without anesthesia, it causes intolerable pain to such extent that the patient may even run away from the hospital and not let the surgery be done. So like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether he deals with Keshav Kashmiri or with Sarva Bhattacharya or with Prakashananda Saraswati, the three main intellectual confrontations that he had, he always pacifies the other person, you know, gives that other person the required respect and honor. And when that person feels secure, that yes, I am not being challenged, then in the most unexpected and endearing way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu topples his pride. So what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do in this case? He said, oh, you are such a learned scholar and we are very fortunate that we are able to have you. So we are on the banks of the Ganga, can you please speak some verses glorifying Ganga? So Keshav Kashmiri's pride was piqued. He said, yes. And he started speaking 100 verses on the spot, composed, and he started glorifying Mother Ganga. So everybody was dazzled. All the students over there, they thought, what kind of scholarship is this? So Chaitanya, when he finished speaking, he was speaking for more than an hour, 100 verses just going on and on. It seemed like one Ganga was flowing in the riverbed, the other Ganga was flowing from his mouth. So Nimai Pandit continued his strategy of flattering him. He said, oh, you are such a learned scholar, you can glorify Ganga in such a powerful way that nobody except you can understand what you have spoken. So please, can you, as we are all grammar students, can you tell us about your poetry from a critical point of view, from a review point of view? So which verse? Yeah. So can you tell us can you do a review of the 66th verse? And he spoke the 66th verse. So Keshav Kashmiri's turn, it was now to be stunned. He said, how did you remember the 66th verse? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nonchalantly said, oh, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, somebody can compose 100 verses on the moment. And by the mercy of that same Lord Krishna, somebody else can remember whatever he has heard immediately. So Keshav Kashmiri nodded his head. He was a little impressed. Generally, people who are so intoxicated by their own ego, unless they see somebody who is accomplished in their own field in a compatible or equal way, they are not impressed. But when they see the other person is accomplished, then they start respecting him. So what had happened? First, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had respected him, so he didn't feel insecure. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, exhibited his own learning. So that made him, oh, he's a learned person, he's an intelligent person, he's not an ordinary person. So that his respect increased. And then after that, Chaitanya, he said, when he recited the 66th verse, he said, please tell me what are the good points and the faults in this verse. He said, there are no faults in my verse. So Nimai Pandit, he said, oh, actually, even the compositions of great, great poets also has faults in it. So please don't get angry. Please tell me what are the faults and the good points in it. So he says, how can you tell the faults? You have not studied Kavya. You know, Vyakaran is the first thing that is studied in Sanskrit, and later on in advanced days, people study Kavya. So Nimai Pandit said, yes, I have not studied, but I have heard from authorities. So based on that, I can review the poetry. Okay. Then you review it and tell me. And then that's a very technical section which comes in the 16th chapter of the Adilila. where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually describes how there are so many different faults in that poetry. So of course this whole pastime can itself take the whole class, but so we'll focus on. So then he points out how, I just take one point, he talks about how Bhavani Bhartu, you have used this word Bhavani Bhartu, means the Bhava is Lord Shiva, Ani is his wife, so the and Bhartu is the husband. So the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva, what do you mean by this? Are you saying that Parvati is unchaste? So when he spoke this, he was stunned. And he tried to give some reply, Kesho Kashmiri, but he just couldn't reply anything. And eventually, all the students started laughing, seeing that Kesho Kashmiri had been outwitted, outclassed. But Nimai Pandit became very grave. He said, hey, don't laugh. You know, we can contrast this with when Duryodhana had fallen in the Maya Sabha of Yudhishthir. When he slipped, all the queens started laughing. When the queen started laughing, you know, Yudhishthir Maharaj told them, don't laugh. But Lord Krishna told Yudhishthir, don't stop him. So now, why did Krishna do that? Because Krishna saw that Duryodhana was incorrigible. Duryodhana was somebody who could never be changed. Incorrigible means one whose sinful or bad nature cannot be changed. So the only way that he could be cured by was by direct confrontation and on the battlefield. So Lord Krishna wanted to remove adharma, and so he allowed Duryodhana to be provoked all the more. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come not to kill demons, but to kill the demoniac mentality. So he wanted to transform Kesho Kashmiri. He said, don't laugh. And then very respectfully he told this Kesho Kashmiri, although he had been defeated, that today has been a long day and you have spoken those 100 verses also. You must be tired. You can go home, take rest, study your books, and come tomorrow and we can discuss. So this is a very, very gentle way of telling him that you are defeated, you can go back. He didn't say like, hey, I have defeated you, submit to me. So very respectful he was. So actually, even when we are preaching, sometimes we have to defeat people in their false arguments. But if we defeat the person, but in defeating the person, we lose the person. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually teaches us how we should always respect that person. And to some extent, separate the opinion of that person from that person and respect the person and refute his opinion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does that very expertly over here. You know, he clearly proves that what he has spoken is wrong, but he continues respecting him. And still, of course, Kesho Kashmiri is devastated, but he's not so humiliated as he would have been if he had been defeated in the public debate. And then he goes back and prays to Saraswati, and Saraswati tells him, that this, yes, I had given you my vow, but I cannot exhibit my learning in front of the master of my master. My master is Lord Brahma and his master is Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Krishna. So go back and surrender to him. And then he goes back and surrenders and he becomes a great Vaishnava thereafter. So generally when a person is learned, you know, he loves to show his learning to others and to prove others how the others are very insignificant. And they should just stand by and admire him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't do that. You know, he, as Nimai Pandit also, before he manifested his devotion, he's showing that actually learning should be used only for the service of others, for benefiting others. So here he benefited Kesho Kashmiri by freeing him from pride and enabling him to become a devotee. Similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to, after he took sannyas, he went to South India. So South India, first he went to Jagannath Puri, and in Jagannath Puri when he met Sarvam Bhattacharya. Now what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? Again he was very humble. He said, oh, Sarvam Bhattacharya, you are like my son, and I am like you are like my father, I am like your son. You please protect me and instruct me how I should preserve my sannyas. And then he said that sannyasi should hear Vedanta Sutra. Then he agreed. So he just sat down and heard. And for 7 days he continued hearing. 7 days he continued hearing. Now sometimes when we go to do some follow-up for boys, they have some problem. So sometimes what happens is, even before we hear their problem, we offer the solution. And when that happens, they just can't take it. Suppose we go to a doctor, go to eye specialist, and even before we tell what is the problem we are having in eye, he says, okay, this is the prescription. You know, you have to wear this glass, this lens, this magnitude, cylindrical, this magnitude oblong. Say, how?
You did not diagnose me. How can you prescribe? So a doctor who gives a prescription without a diagnosis will not attract much faith in the audience. So generally, people need to be heard. So when they feel that their side is understood, then they become open to understanding the other side. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat and heard Prakashananda Sarasvati Bhattacharya for 7 days. And he was just hearing. And finally, after 7 days, finally he asked, "So, are you understanding? You're not asking any questions." So, now the reply that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave was shocking for Sarasvati Bhattacharya. He said, "Vyasa's Vedanta Sutra is as clear as the sun, but your explanations are like the dark cloud that covers the sun." Now, this explanation is very, very jolting, because what does it mean? Sarasvati Bhattacharya is trying to teach Vedanta Sutra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that the Vedanta Sutras are as clear as the sun. That means I already know Vedanta Sutra. And then he is saying your explanation is like the dark cloud covering. That means, and not only do I know the subject, I also know that what you are teaching is wrong. So it's quite an affront to the teacher. And normally Sarasvati Bhattacharya would have reacted in a very aggressive way. But because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had heard him for 7 days, he said, "Oh, really? If you feel my explanations are wrong, I am giving the explanation according to Shankaracharya Sharika Bhashya. So what is your explanation?" And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started speaking. And when he spoke, Sarasvati Bhattacharya, although he was to some extent a Mayavadi, he was an open-minded person. You know, when people follow a particular path, sometimes they use the intelligence to understand whether the path is right. Other times they use their intelligence to prove that their path is right. And somehow or the other, they don't want to open-mindedly investigate. Sarasvati Bhattacharya was open-minded. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his explanation, actually for the first time he understood. Oh, this is such a logical and systematic explanation. Because Shankaracharya, in order to give a Mayavadi interpretation, has to give a secondary meaning to many of the verses. He has to even say some verses are inappropriately written. And it's quite questionable, some of the things which he has done. So that's why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his explanation, he was very stunned. You know, one of the prominent scholars who translated both Shankaracharya's Vedanta Sutra commentary and Ramacharya's Vedanta Sutra commentary. So he said, after writing commentary, he was a Western scholar. So he said that as far as the Vedanta Sutra itself is concerned, it is theistic and Ramacharya's commentary is more faithful to the text. So at that time, he gave an interview. So many Indians wrote back to me and said, "How can you say Shankaracharya is wrong?" So he said, "I am not commenting about Shankaracharya's philosophy. I am commenting about Vedanta Sutra." He said, "Shankaracharya's philosophy may be right or wrong, but we are going to see whether his philosophy is faithful to Vedanta Sutra. And I stick to my point, it is not faithful to Vedanta Sutra." So actually, even when Madhvacharya, Ramacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would debate, you know, the main argument people would give is, how can Shankaracharya be wrong? Shankaracharya is such a great person. So generally speaking, you know, people get faith in a philosophy not just by how the person argues, but by how the person lives. What is his personality? What is his charisma? Shankaracharya himself is Lord Shiva, and you know, he wanted to drive away Buddhism. So he lived a very exemplary life. So Shankaracharya's Advaitavad had a hold on Indian intellectual society at that time that is stronger, much stronger than the hold that science has on modern society. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarasvati Bhattacharya that actually Shankaracharya is not wrong, because he was instructed by Lord Vishnu, to spread this Mayavad. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted from the Padma Puran verses about how Lord Krishna told him. Lord Vishnu told Lord Shiva, "Go in Kali Yuga and spread this Mayavad." So now Sarasvati Bhattacharya, two roadblocks were removed for him. One was that he could see the logicality of Vedanta Sutra as explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Secondly, he could also understand that Shankaracharya was not wrong, but he was told to teach this. So now, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while
While explaining this, he spoke about Atmaram verse. He said, can you please explain the Atmaram verse? Sarvabhattacharya asked. He said, first you explain. So from the Mayavad point of view, Sarvabhattacharya explained 9 different meanings. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated. He did not realize, hey, your meaning is all nonsense. He said, your meanings are good, but there are additional meanings to this. And then he gave many, many more meanings. Some people say 27, some people say 35. So he gave so many meanings. And that time, when Sarvabhattacharya saw such learning, he was stunned. He just fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you cannot be, such learning cannot be there in anybody except the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he was transformed completely. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a special darshan. And then his heart was transformed. So here also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used his learning to transform somebody who was very learned. But he did it in a very sensitive, mature and respectful way. Similarly with Prakashanand Saraswati. This was in his North India tour when he went to Varanasi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starting, he took a very humble position with respectful to others. So when they met in the Maharashtrian Brahmin's house, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down at the washing place and he told them. So Prakashanand Saraswati was very surprised. Why are you sitting there? Why are you lamenting like this? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, actually you are all very exalted. I am a very ordinary person. So that's why this is suitable for me. So this humility touched him very much. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also exhibited the Brahman effulgence. And then he said, there's a very long conversation which comes in both the 7th chapter of the Adilila as well as the 25th chapter of the Antalila, of the Madhyalila. So eventually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains how, you know, Tattvamasi is not the Mahavakya. Omkar is the Mahavakya of the Upanishads. And he systematically refutes the misunderstanding of Prakashanand Saraswati. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually counters Prakashanand Saraswati's arguments, so at the end of it, you know, Prakashanand Saraswati understands, you know, what is actually Prakash, what is actual Ananda, and what is actual Saraswati. And he becomes completely transformed. And he and his all his followers become Vaishnavas by that. So, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very interestingly, that he was so learned, but he did not exhibit his learning normally. Normally he would just inspire people to chant and dance and take shelter of the holy name. But whenever it was required, he exhibited his opulence. So, no, one of the mysterious aspects of Krishna Leela is that God does not always act as God. You know, when Krishna is being bound by Mother Yashoda, or when Krishna is stealing butter, you know, if he acts omniscient and he says, I know where is the butter, I know it is in this pot, and this pot doesn't contain it, and this pot is here, so then there is no fun in the Leela. So Krishna also hides his omniscience and pretends as if he does not know. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is omniscient, he does not always exhibit his omniscience. He allows Yoga Maya to cover his omniscience so that there can be the reciprocation of love between him and his devotees, and a performance of Leela can take place. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he first exhibited how he attained the summit of learning. Navadvip at that time was like the headquarters of education and learning in India. That's why Keshav Kashmiri came there to challenge the Pandits after going all over India. But in that Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attained the topmost recognition of being the most learned person. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu renounced that to become a devotee. So actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his own life, teaches that learning itself cannot lead us to the ultimate goal of life. That's why, but he also wanted to counter the existing misconception that was there. That actually there is this conception that Gyan is for intellectual people, Bhakti is for sentimental people. So if we are intelligent people, we will follow Gyan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to counter this misconception. That's why what did he do? He attained the summit of Gyan. He became the topmost scholar of his times. And after becoming a scholar, he decided to renounce scholarship for devotion. So through his own life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated that actually it is not that bhakti is for sentimental people, bhakti is also for intelligent people. But bhakti is so great that even those who are not intelligent can practice it. That doesn't mean that bhakti is for less intelligent people. Even the most intelligent people also practice it. And the most intelligent people also cannot attain the perfection of life unless they have practiced bhakti, they are taking shelter of bhakti. So that's why with respect to Keshav Kashmiri, it is said that with Bhagyavanta Pandita Safala Jivana Vidyara Bale Paila Chaitanya Charana. It describes that this Pandit was Bhagyavan. Why was he Bhagyavan? Vidyara Bale. By the power of his Vidya, he did not just become a world famous scholar in this world, but he attained the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. He surrendered to the Supreme Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that for Keshav Kashmiri, and he demonstrated that in his own life also, that he attained the pinnacle of learning and then he renounced learning to accept devotion. Lord Krishna also says this in the Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. In the 6th chapter, 19th verse, he says that after many lifetimes of cultivating knowledge, one becomes Jnanavan. The two verses before this, there are three verses before this, 6.16, 17, 18, Krishna uses the word Jnani over there. Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhakti Rishishyate. He says how the Jnani is very good, the Jnani is very dear to me. But Jnani is one who is a seeker of knowledge. And Jnanavan is one who is the possessor of knowledge. So there is a difference between the two. So Jnani is a person who is seeking knowledge, but like Bhagavan is one person who possesses opulences. So like that, when a person is seeker of knowledge, he starts practicing devotional service. But when he becomes a possessor of knowledge, he completely surrenders to me. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the introduction to teachings of Lord Chaitanya, introduction of Chaitanya Charitamrita also, that there is no difference between the teachings of Lord Krishna and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This is demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna says that a seeker of knowledge comes to me, a possessor of knowledge surrenders to me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also demonstrated the same thing through his life, that he attained the summit of learning and then he renounced learning. Renouncing learning doesn't mean that he becomes foolish or ignorant, but that he understands that there is something beyond learning. There is devotion beyond that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was doing his normal lila with his devotees, he would not normally exhibit omniscience. But sometimes in a very mysterious way he would do that. So when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami decided to renounce their great opulence and worldly power, Tektva Turna Mashesha Andalapati Shrenin Sadat Uchavat. They decided to give it as if it was Tuchya and surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Rupa Goswami left first, and Sanatana Goswami was arrested by Nawab Hussain Shah and put in jail. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally came to met Rupa Goswami in Prayag. At that time he asked, so where is Sanatana Goswami? He says, oh, actually he has been arrested by Nawab Hussain Shah, and if you have mercy on him, then he will be released. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled. He says, already been released. He has already been. And it was actually true. Sanatana Goswami, by his intelligence, he had actually planned to get himself released from the prison. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as one sense, he asks, so where is Sanatana Goswami? But he tells also, because Rupa Goswami is in anxiety, or Sanatana Goswami is still in prison, he says, don't be in anxiety, he has already been released. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibits his omniscience in small, small, sensitive ways like this. Similarly, when Sanatana Goswami comes to Varanasi and he is outside the house of Tapan Mishra, and externally he is dressed like a Muslim fakir. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Tapan Mishra, there is a Vaishnava outside, go and get him. So he goes out and looks, there is no Vaishnava. He just sees this bearded person who looks like a Muslim, and he says, there is no one, there is no Vaishnava outside. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Is there somebody at all outside? He said, yes, yes. There is a Muslim fakir outside. So get him, he says. So he gets him, and then what happens? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces him. So how did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that Sanatana Goswami is outside? He knew because he is the omniscient Supreme Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibits his omniscience in far more miraculous ways also, in far more important ways. You know, Sanatana Goswami later on, in this, he comes to Jagannath Puri from Vrindavan. At that time, while, you know, during his journey, he drinks some infected water and his whole body gets covered with sores. So when his body gets covered with sores, he feels very distressed. And the sores are also giving out a smell and the dirty fluid is coming out. So when he meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants to keep a distance, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally comes and embraces him. So Sanatana Goswami has made a plan that I will throw myself under the Jagannath cart and commit suicide. Because what is the use of my life? That in my life I am getting so diseased, so sickly and so smelly, and I am actually contaminating the pure and golden body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his touching me. My life is worthless. So he decides to commit suicide. So what happens? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to him and he tells him, how is it that you are planning to destroy somebody else's body? You know, sometimes when we have to chastise a person, if we directly chastise the person, that person may feel hurt. But when we talk about that person to other person, that other person understands, the first person understands. So Sanatana Goswami is staying with Haridas Thakur in Siddha Bakul. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Haridas Thakur, just look at this person. He says, how is it that he is destroying the property of somebody else? He tells Sanatana Goswami that your body is my property. And how can you destroy? You have surrendered to me, I have accepted you. And how can you destroy that which is my property? So Sanatana Goswami says, my dear Lord, my body is useless. What can I do for you? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, oh, I have so many plans to fulfill with your body. You know, that's why I have sent you to Vrindavan. I wanted to go to Vrindavan, but I couldn't go. Therefore, I have sent you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already knew that Sanatana Goswami was planning to commit suicide. And he was not at all pleased with that idea. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, don't commit suicide. He says, if by committing suicide one could attain Lord Krishna, then I would have committed suicide hundreds of times. But one attains Lord Krishna not by committing suicide, but by surrendering one's life to Krishna. Actually, it is said that the life of sacrifice is far more glorious than the sacrifice of life. I'll repeat, the life of sacrifice is far more glorious than the sacrifice of life. That means that suppose some terrorists come to the temple and say, try to attack the temple and desecrate the deities, and somebody just jumps in and stops the terrorists and gives up his life at that time. That's glorious. That is the sacrifice of life. But that is glorious, but actually even more glorious and more challenging is the life of sacrifice. Now, to every day put aside our selfish desires, put aside our ego, to sacrifice our ego, our desires and surrender to Krishna. Day after day, doing what he wants us to do in this world. That is far more difficult and that is far more glorious. So, the word sacrifice actually comes from the Greek sakra. Sakra is related with the word sacred. So, sacrifice means to make sacred by offering to God. So, that's why Krishna, the Prabhupada uses the word yajna. Or uses sacrifice as a translation for yajna. Yajna means to sanctify. So, actually, all of us, you know, we may not have the opportunity to sacrifice our life for Krishna. And even if we get the opportunity, you know, we may not have the courage to do that. But that is not necessary. What all of us can try to do is to live a life of sacrifice according to whatever capacity we have. You know, putting aside our own selfish interests and trying to see what will please Krishna, what will fulfill Krishna's mission. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, you may feel your body is useless, but for me your body is very useful. And therefore, instead of sacrificing your life, instead of sacrifice of life, you live a life of sacrifice. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Sanatana Goswami and freed him from all his sores. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu protected the life of Sanatana Goswami by his omniscience. Similarly, it is described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also exhibited omniscience in protecting Murari Gupta. Now, Murari Gupta was a devotee of Lord Ram. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you know, Krishna exhibits far more rasas than Lord Ram. Therefore, you should worship Krishna. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of God. And Murari Gupta could not refuse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. At the same time, he could not take his heart off the mind of heart and mind of Lord Ramchandra. So he decided that I cannot disobey Lord Chaitanya. At the same time, I cannot be unfaithful to my Lord Ramchandra. So he decided the only solution is to commit suicide. So he purchased a knife and kept the knife at a secret place in his house. And he planned, at night, I will kill myself with this knife. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his house and straight away asked him, where is the knife? Which knife? What are you talking about? Pray Gupta was surprised. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, I only made the knife. It is I only who arranged that the knife through the knife seller to give you that knife. Therefore, I am asking you, where is the knife? He says, what knife? Somebody has misinformed. Nobody has misinformed. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly went to that place where the knife had been concealed and he took the knife, he said. Actually, by giving up our life, we cannot attain Lord Krishna. So he protected the life of Murari Gupta also like that. Similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on South India tour, he came to Kurma Kshetra where he met the Kurma Brahmin. And after blessing Kurma Brahmin, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went ahead. But then at that point, there was the leper Vasudev who came there. And this leper Vasudev wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and have his darshan. But he came late. So when he came late, what happened? He was devastated to find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the heart of the leper Vasudev. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He immediately came back. Although he had gone far ahead from Kurmakshetra, he came back. And he embraced the leper Vasudev. And he transformed him. Although he was very, his body was very diseased and sickly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed. Purata Sundara Vasudeva Tranakarta. So he made his body Purata Sundara. He made his body like shining like gold. Krishnaskara Goswami says, Nashta Kushtam Rupa Pushtam Bhakti Tushtam Chakarayaha. What did he do? Nashta Kushtam. His Kushta Rog was destroyed. Rupa Pushtam. He gave him beautiful form. Pushta, healthy form. And Bhakti Tushtam Chakara. He also nourished him in Bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his omniscience over there also. In that way. So, when we understand, so there are many, many more pastimes which you could discuss about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's omniscience. But the one thing we need to understand, that when we say understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient, that means he knows everything about us. So now when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows everything about us, now that has both a sobering and a reassuring effect for a devotee. Sobering, just like if a person is a thief and he is trying to rob something and suddenly comes, oh, there's a policeman over there. You know what happens? He becomes frightened. He becomes alarmed. But on the other hand, if somebody is a law-abiding citizen and he is going on a dark road at night and he's afraid that thieves will come, and suddenly he sees in the distance there is a policeman, then that seeing that policeman has a reassuring effect on him. So similarly, whenever we have a law-breaking tendency, when we tend to become like thieves, then at that time the remembrance that the Lord is omniscient has a sobering effect. I should not do this. And on the other hand, when we are trying to practice devotional service and when we know there are so many difficulties, so we feel, oh, how will this problem be solved? How will that problem be solved? Then it's like thieves are there about to attack a person. And then he says, oh, there's a policeman over there, policeman will protect. So for us as devotees, if we are trying to practice Krishna consciousness sincerely, then the knowledge that Krishna is omniscient, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient, is actually very reassuring. It is very protecting. So as devotees, we should always be very confident that there is no need for us to worry about we should not have too much fear. Of course, we should do whatever is required for us to protect our bhakti. But beyond that, if for practicing our bhakti, if there is any danger which we have to take, surely we can take that and we can have faith that Lord Krishna will surely protect us. So with this faith and with this confidence, coming from the fact that Krishna is all-knowing, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is all-knowing, we can confidently practice bhakti. And when we know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is all-knowing, we also know that he knows our anarthas, he knows our weaknesses, and he will compensate for our weaknesses. There is a very beautiful verse which concludes the Isha Upanishad. Agnanaya suktaraya asman विश्वानि देवे वयुनानि विद्वान् योध्यस्मज्जुहुरानामीनो भूयिष्ठं तेन मौक्तिं विधेम.
डिस्क्राइब माय डियर लॉर्ड, यू आर ऑम्निशियंट एंड यू नो वॉट एवर डिफिकल्टीज आर देयर इन माई प्रैक्टिस ऑफ भक्ति, वॉट एवर अनर्थाज आर देयर इन माई हार्ट. सो प्लीज लीड मी ऑन द राइट पाथ, प्लीज प्रोटेक्ट मी फ्रॉम दिस अनर्थाज एंड प्लीज हेल्प मी टू कम बैक टू यू. आई ऑफर माई ओबेसेंसेस टू यू हंड्रेड्स ऑफ टाइम्स. सो इन दिस वे यू नो वी कैन बिकम द नॉलेज दैट कृष्णा नोज एवरीथिंग कैन मेक अस वेरी हम्बल एट द सेम टाइम वेरी कॉन्फिडेंट. हम्बल दैट कृष्णा नोज what is wrong with us, and confident that Krishna knows also how to cure us. Yes, so Krishna's omniscience, Krishna's or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's omniscience is not meant to make us feel like a criminal. It is meant to feel us like a confident patient. You know, when a patient is confident that a doctor really knows the subject properly, the doctor really knows the patient's sickness properly, doctor really knows the cure properly. And all the patient has to do is just cooperate, just surrender. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the master physician. Krishna Das call him as the Vaidya, Mahavaidya. Chaitanya Mahavaidya, he calls him. So he's a supreme, so his all-knowing attribute can give us the confidence that whatever difficulties we have, the Lord knows the way to solve them. What do we have to do? We just have to cooperate with him. Cooperate in practicing devotional service enthusiastically, sincerely, and we will be transformed, we will be uplifted, and we will be ultimately purified and will be taken back home, back to Godhead. So I'll summarize. I talked about the opulence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being all-knowing in three ways. How he exhibited the opulence before he manifested his devotion by defeating Kesha Kashmiri, and he showed how after attaining the pinnacle of learning, one renounces learning so that one can surrender to bhakti. Then as a bhakta, he very respectfully defeated all counter arguments by which he could establish the supremacy of bhakti. We discussed this with respect to Sarvabhattacharya and Prakashan Saraswati. And then we discussed lastly about how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibits his omniscience in a very sweet, endearing way to facilitate the pastimes with his devotees, to receive their love, to express his love for them, to protect them, and to inspire them. And lastly, we concluded, when we understand that Krishna is all-knowing, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is all-knowing, that means we are in safe hands. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya are our doctor, and they know what is the disease, they know what is the cure, we just have to cooperate with them. With this faith, we can enthusiastically practice devotional service and attain the ultimate goal of life. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? So, very good question. While studying, we acquire so much knowledge. How can we use that to serve Krishna, and how can we use it as an instrument to develop humility? So, first point is that the principle of Yukta Vairagya. We all have to have some source of livelihood, and if that livelihood can be acquired through a particular sort of form of education knowledge, why not? So it can enable us to earn a livelihood. Similarly, you know, if we are in engineering or some similar field like that, in today's society it has respectability. In traditional society, Vedic knowledge had respectability. But whatever way we can gain respect in the eyes of others, we can use that for serving Krishna. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he taught that we should be humble, at the same time he also realized that the preacher needs to have respect. So that people can take his message seriously. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to such an extent that he took sannyas in a Mayavad Sampradaya. He took sannyas in a Mayavad Sampradaya because Mayavad was respectable at that time. So we can see how important it is that for a preacher to gain respectability in society. So similarly, if as students, if we study properly, systematically, and get good marks, and through our marks and through the resulting position, we can gain respectability in society. That can help us enormously in getting respect for the message that we want to give. That's why Yukta Vairagya. As devotee students, you know, we should try to do our studies nicely, acquire the knowledge, and use the knowledge and the respect that will come from acquiring that knowledge to gain respectability for Krishna's message.
And how do we develop humility?
Humility will come not by material studies. Humility will come by our practice of devotional service.
When we practice devotional service, understand the philosophy properly, then we understand how small and fallible we are,
and how small as compared to the largeness of the universe, how tiny we are, and how fallible is, you know, how much temporary our life is.
We may claim that we are very learned, but you know, nowadays this brain hemorrhage is becoming so common. You know, one nerve in the, one blood vessel in the brain bursts, and what happens? The person dies. Even if he survives, he loses all his intelligence, his memory. You know,
I know people who are very, very intelligent and learned, and one brain hemorrhage, and they can't even remember their own name. They can't recognize their friends and relatives.
So our memory is so fallible.
You know, our intellectual relationships, our intellectual resources are so temporary and so losable.
Therefore, knowing that what we have does not belong to us, it is given to us by Lord Krishna and it can be taken away by Him anytime.
When we meditate on this, then we can stay humble.
So Prabhupada would say, don't be proud of borrowed plumes. What you have, use it in Krishna's service, but don't be proud of it.
Okay, any other questions?
Thank you very much for your kind attention.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.